First, I'm going to turn to Richard and his colleague, Robert. What we've decided to do, again, in the interest of time, let me just point out that we have brief bios for everyone that is here today, and this is publicly posted and available. And if you don't mind, we would just direct you to the bios. Richard, of course, knows everyone and may give a little short introduction, but we will kind of err on the side of the presentations and the discussion.
Again, good morning and welcome. I'm sure you're quite knowledgeable by now. The ATP does no longer exist. It was around for 18 years, a very unique program in the federal government, and a program which I believe will have a lot to offer to all of you here today. And hopefully by the end of today, you'll get a pretty good understanding of what we did as a team for 18 years. And it's something quite commendable, and you'll have an opportunity to talk to us today, too, during the breaks, during lunch, and even after the day is over. So, for starters, I just want to give you an idea about the ATP, just a little history of it. You can see the mission here. ATP was a combination of science and economics. Very interesting stuff. Not too many economists of science around. But by the mission here, accelerate development of innovative technologies for broad benefits through partnerships with the private sector. A lot of good economics hidden in there. The economic rationale for the ATP. Address market failures or market imperfections in early stage generic technologies. And the uniqueness of the ATP is the ATP addressed high technical risk projects with a degree of uncertainty about the outcome of the R&D activity. And also the fact that the projects were long-term in development, and we believe that the economic impact would be felt when the technologies were commercialized. There are also some other words that you'll come across here today, such as spillover effects. And another aspect of the technology that we funded is that the technologies did not guarantee a return to the investor, but we thought that even though the investor return might be limited, the social return might be that much greater. And as a government program, we're interested in social return. And the third thing, bullet we have down here, and all of the above leads to a disincentive on the part of the private sector to invest in technologies that could benefit society as a whole. There's a quote here from John Marburger. I won't read it to you, but you can please do so. You can see how important it is to make technology evaluations, evaluations in general. And I'll just read the last paragraph. It is impossible to decide rationally when to enhance or to terminate a project if we do not possess a way of measuring its success. And we believe that we did a pretty good job measuring technology project success. Now, why is evaluation important? Important for public programs, and we have these four bullets here. I'm sure there's many more. An agency should demonstrate that it has a plan and organizational capacity to conduct assessment of its R&D activities. It should have an explicit set of performance metrics. It should have an organizational commitment to evaluate its performance. You'll see all this here today. And it must be credible results that can actually produce something or can be produced. With the ATP, evaluation began early. And we're very, very fortunate today that we have some people here from the very beginning of the program to actually give us more depth on this. But as I believe Susan mentioned, the ATP evaluation activities began very early in the program. The program ATP begins around 1990, legislation 1988, 1989. And you can see GIPRA gets underway in 1993. So the evaluation at ATP began before GIPRA and even before agenda, the President's Management Agenda in 2001. Economic Assessment Office, which is what people who will be presenting today are predominantly associated with, the former Economic Assessment Office, was charged with measuring the impact of the program. Give you an idea of the commitment on the part of the ATP to do this. 16 economists, statisticians, information specialists, and contractors were hired to evaluate this program. Give you an idea of the, again, commitment. ATP budget for the evaluation went from $25,000 to $2 to $5 million per year. That's a serious desire to measure. EAO, as we call it, Economic Assessment Office, uses multiple methods to measure direct and indirect impacts of project funding, and today each presentation will give you an idea of what those methods were. It's not just one little formula. Give you an idea, an overview, if you will, for the different approaches we use. Statistical profiling of applicants, projects, participants, technologies, real-time monitoring of research and business activities through ATP project teams, project management, if you will, Both technical and business progress reports were collected on an annual basis, and for that matter, several times during the year. Progress measures collected were done so through surveys, something we proudly refer to as our business reporting system, and a number of other databases that we developed. Statistical and Statistical and econometric analysis was also conducted, and we did this again through our own internal staff as well as outside contractors. And the last bullet I have here, developing and testing new tools and methods was something that we did on a continuing basis. A few more ideas here. Microeconomic case studies. You'll see those today in what we call our status reports. We did benefit cost analysis, and we thought that microeconomics was the way to go, and macroeconomics was not the way to go. We did not have enough money for a macro impact, but we did for a micro impact. Next bullet, policy and special issue studies. Again, we have people who talk about that. That's the status reports we have and other reports of that nature. Then, of course, we see status reports on completed projects through a virtually mini case studies with a star rating system developed for us by a person who will be speaking shortly. Expert reviews, ATP had an advisory committee. The National Research Council looked at us. One thoroughly examined program that received kudos all the way through. And comparisons with federal, with foreign counterpart programs, several organizations from around the world have come to talk to us and tried to copy what we did. And now I'll introduce Mankiewicz, who will give you the next few slides.
Good morning again. You know, certain things seem to be obvious to us at ATP, formerly ATP, in TIP about evaluation. And what's the case in things that are so obvious that they're not, you know, so obvious, okay? And first of all, one size in our evaluation effort does not fit all, and that the timing, the types of evaluation that ATP did was tied into the timing of expected results. In the short term, and we're talking about the really short term, even before a project was funded, even before funded or recommended for funding, economists typically sat on peer review boards to assess in an ex ante form whether a potential project could result in broad economic benefits for the country. Another aspect in the short term is survey tools, which you will hear about later, which Richard already spoke about, were developed and transformed over the life of the program. The types of survey tools and the survey methodology that we employed in 1996 looks, you know, little like the survey methodology that we employ today. Nevertheless, the surveys evolved over time. Such survey tools, which is a short-term perspective, address not only the technological aspects of a potential technology, but also the business aspects of a technology. So we're looking at both the potential technological impacts in our surveys as well as the potential economic impacts. In the short run, performance measures have also been calculated. These things include things like publications or patents or the number of projects with technologies under commercialization. These have typically been used in our GIFRA analysis. You'll be hearing more about the longer-term aspects that we've conducted at ATP. These include things like post-project surveys and data analysis. Even after a project has been ended, after the 3 or the 5 years that the project had taken place with ATP, a project's progress was still monitored 2 years, 4 years, and 6 years after we conducted surveys to determine whether ATP still had what ATP's impact was. You'll be hearing more later this morning about in-depth clustering case studies and the return on investment. And finally, econometric and macroeconomic analysis Richard has already addressed. Let me talk for about a minute about portfolio-wide analysis. When we're talking about our portfolio-wide analysis, one aspect that we talk about is our status reports. We've already introduced two people here today, Stephanie Cox and Lee Bose, who headed up this effort. And this is a large effort. Over ATP conducted status reports on 200 of its over 750 projects that have been funded through the program. These are roughly, 28%, 30%. These are many case studies. If ATP had survived, it was the intent that a status report would have been written on every single project. Benefit cost analysis. Another critical component of what ATP tried to do were benefit cost analysis studies. These are in-depth case studies that provide qualitative and quantitative evidence of outcomes that result from ATP projects. That is, how did the technology benefit the company? How did the technology benefit the economy? How did the technology benefit society? Given that technology is a long-term game, ATP was called upon to estimate its impact even before the impact was fully realized. And ATP conducted both prospective as well as retrospective cost-benefit analysis. Later in the morning, Jean Powell will be discussing a lot of the case studies that she was intimately involved with. So why do we do evaluation? First of all, evaluation results are used for program management. And thanks to the efforts of people such as Rosalie Rugg and Jean Powell, who I don't see yet, at the organization's infancy, evaluation was not an afterthought. In evaluation, when we're doing this type of when we're funding involved with industry, doing technology development, emerging technology development, shouldn't be an afterthought. Rather, in this program, when it started off, evaluation was fully integrated into the organization with a dedicated staff. Second, we do evaluation because we're a learning organization. Carrying the torch from Rosalie was Stephanie, who allowed us to get the results fed back into project selection, into project management, into the outreach, into academic communities. Evaluation is also used to meet external requests for program results and official requirements. ATP being what it was, let me say honestly, we got a lot of these. Whether we were from the Hill, whether we were from Congress, we got a lot of requests from external stakeholders to say, what have you done? What have you done lately for us? And it's critical to have an evaluation program to address these types of issues. Evaluation also allows us to gain insight into key new relationships. It allowed us to understand ATP's contribution to the U.S. innovation system, as well as document performance and promote and maintain external support. So in our 18-year history, what have we learned? First, it's crucial to have institutional commitment to evaluation to going forward. Without the institutional buy-in, you're likely to be a lone voice in the wilderness. Second, it's critical that when other efforts are going on in the organization, evaluation should be taking place. It's easy to get caught up into the day-to-day activity of your organization, but if you want to have a serious commitment to evaluation, people have got to be dedicated to it, and you've got to continue to do it, regardless of what's going on in the organization. Third, there's a bare minimum that's required to undertake evaluation efforts. Bare minimum of money, bare minimum of staff. Yet, we can always use more money. Fourth, because technology is so complex and it's a moving target, technology evaluation is we learned that a multifaceted approach was the best way to address these issues. And finally, commissioning external studies with experts, don't be afraid of hiring the best. In addition, a couple of points I'd like to leave you with is that systematic data collection over the years since 1992, 1994 has allowed us to build a huge database that is really catalyzing the next generation of researchers on these new emerging technology, and it will able to provide us with insights into the U.S. innovation system. Without a systematic data collection, it's likely that key temporal data elements could be lost, and they could be lost forever. Sometimes, also, you have to build your own tools. If you refer to the literature, if you refer to the research, and it's not there, maybe someone didn't do it. Maybe you've got to be responsible for, you know, coming up with the best methodology to evaluate something. Because no one has done it before. And so you're forging your own path here. Also, we are not the economic cheerleading office. And there's a major difference between evaluation and cheerleading, right? We learn from success, but we learn from failure as much. And if you don't address your failure, then in a highly controversial environment like ATP was in, you're likely to lose your credibility quickly. And finally, the last bullet goes without saying. You've got to communicate your results strategically. There are many continuing challenges for program evaluation. These are just a few that we've identified, and I'm sure over the course of the day, we are likely to identify even more. I'd like to share with you a couple of final thoughts that I've stolen from my colleagues. First of all, the simple act of measuring and reporting results will itself promote improvements. And finally, too much monitoring can cripple efforts, and in the early stage, too little, and the value will be lost. We hope that you'll find what the experts say over the next 3 or 4 hours of value of use, and we look forward to a great day.
Thank you very much, Rod.